This week in your parents' basement, we're celebrating America, and we're bombing the hell out of the Gulf as we play Desert Strike from 1992 by Electronic Arts. I'm Steve Greenwald, and with me is a regular co-host that loves an isometric perspective. It's Huell Hauser.
Or is heck.
And our other co-host, he's the meanest, leanest fighting machine since General Schwarzkopf. It's Todd Brisket.
Guys, I'm glad we're finally doing Dune 1 since we did Dune 2 a few episodes ago. And by the way, listeners, stay tuned for the second half of the show where I have a celebrity interview with Tom Cruise, the one and only.
Oh wow. Touching joysticks with Tom Cruise.
A new entry.
Yes. As has been rumored for years that he is into touching joysticks. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. This week's game is Desert Strike. Released in 1992 by Electronic Arts, Desert Strike was a surprising and immediate hit for the company. Until doing research for the show, I had no idea it set sales records for the company when it was released, since my primary experience with this game was seeing it in discount bins years after the fact. In Desert Strike, you pilot a helicopter in a place that is not Iraq. While you're not in Iraq, you bomb military and nuclear sites and rescue hostages and other things. Also, it's definitely not Iraq, even though it's led by a dictator who kind of looks like Saddam Hussein. But it is not Iraq. This was a group nomination, but Huell, why don't you start the discussion off for us?
Well, it's not surprising that you found this in discount bins because this is a game from my childhood. And as we as we found out from other games from my childhood, they don't seem to be games from other people's childhoods. So yeah, Desert Strike, I think it's a pretty fun a third-person perspective helicopter shooting game. Because, like you said, we're not going after Saddam Hussein. We're going after General Kilbaba.
Yeah.
The ruthless dictator of unnamed Middle Eastern country.
Yeah, Kilbaba on the original Genesis version. And then when it came out for Super Nintendo, the version that I played as a young boy that I put many hours into, it was General Mubaba.
Oh,
yes.
Nintendo likes to switch things up. So yeah, clearly I had the Genesis version. And this was one of those Genesis carts that had the little yellow tab on it. That weird...
Yeah, it's an EA cart. EA carts are they made their third-party cartridges.
Oh, okay. So EA is the ones that did that. All right, that makes sense. So that stands out to me, besides the rockets and the machine guns. That yellow tab.
Yeah, that yellow tab
sticks out in my brain.
That's where they keep all those rockin' tunes at.
Yeah. That's where the music that doesn't exist in this game is stored. Because when you're playing the game, it's just dead silence except for the whirring blades of your chopper.
Yeah. Well, they tried to make it authentic. They want you to feel like you're there.
This isn't Vietnam. They're not listening to tunes. This is the not Gulf War.
Yeah, I mean,
fighting.
In all the Vietnam games, Vietnam, when they're flying those choppers around.
They got their Buffalo Springfields.
They're listening to their Creedence. They got all those things going. And in this one, if they're to be truly realistic, they would have to license some like Vanilla Ice or
LaBouche.
Beastie Boys or whatever.
Yeah,
some Marky 90s, Mark. They'd be playing some Marky Mark.
90s dance music.
Yeah.
Would be the only possible thing they could include. But the gameplay is very straightforward. They give you a list of objectives to obtain in this limited map here, which is basically just blow up radars, blow up power stations, blow up airfields, blow up command centers. It's a very varied and unique missions that you have here. But, I think it's fun. The controls are fun. Shooting rockets is fun. I think as a kid, I only just played the first level over and over again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Probably because in your quest to kill everything on the screen, it turns out if you blow up the command centers and kill the generals or whatever that are inside, you actually fail the mission because you need them to lead you to like a spy or something. So then they just make you play the first mission again. After that, I don't know. I definitely never beat this game as a kid. I don't know if I ever beat the first level as a kid.
Oh, it's tough. Like there's only four missions in this thing, and the first one is really the only beatable one that you don't have to go to GameFAQs and look up a strategy.
Right.
But you do have to put some time in to kind of figure it out.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you have limited ammo on your guns. You have limited fuel. So just as you're flying around, your fuel ticks down. But I really love the mini-map in this game on the pause screen shows you, like, where everything is. So, like, you're not, like, lost and wandering around.
Oh, this is... But this has to be, like, one of... All the games, they give you all your waypoints nowadays. That's what people complain about. You're playing old Skyrim or Fallout, and it's telling you exactly where you need to go. Not like the old days where you have to just write it down in your own personal journal on something somebody told you on a whim.
Yeah, not like in 1992.
But this game is the originator of the hand-holding.
I would say so, yeah, and that's probably why I liked it. Yeah, so you don't have like a mini map in the corner like modern games, but the pause screen shows you the entire map, and it shows you dots of like where you can pick up like extra fuel, or the missing in action guys you can rescue, or the exact location of the radar dishes you have to blow up and that kind of thing. It even shows you like where all the enemies are. Like so, if there's a certain type of enemy you don't like, you can fly around it.
Mm-hmm. It took me a little bit of time to figure out that there was a mini map in that.
Mm.
And by that 10 minutes into the game, I did not care. I had trouble playing this one this week.
Really?
Maybe because I did not have any fond memories of this game.
Mm.
But I just found it kind of plodding. And okay. And also I struggled to see like the enemies that were firing at me some of the time because you know, these little troopers.
little troopers.
Yeah, and at first, like it's I just struggled to find the objectives and stuff, and then I stumbled upon the mini map when I paused the game.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, I understand this now. And then I played for another couple minutes, and I was like, you know what? I don't care so much.
Yeah, I mean, you get it once you figure out there's a map there and you start shooting some guys and you die a few times. You got it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I probably just played the first level over and over because you don't really need anything else in this game, I think.
Well, it's part of the satisfying thing about this one is when I was a kid, this felt like you were flying a real helicopter. It's got some neat controls on the old helicopter there.
You got the cool controls and three different guns.
Yeah, the camera swoops around, and I forget they were very proud of that at the time. I was reading some article about it, and they're so proud of how their camera swoops around to put more screen area in front of the helicopter than behind it.
Yeah. Oh, I really like that because they could have easily screwed up the controls in this. And you're right about that. The way that the map kind of follows you but doesn't, like, cut off the screen. Because there's games where, like, if you're moving forward, you don't see the screen in front of you. So then you can just, like, stumble upon an enemy and you're, like, dead. But with this one, yeah, the way the camera kind of follows you is really good. Couldn't think of a better word there. It's intuitive.
Yeah, I can definitely see this is I can tell this is a pretty technical pretty advanced game for its time. Yeah, I just gave up.
We're both doing real good here.
Yeah. Really well, Huel. Come on. But I can see that it was good for its time. The graphics are pretty sharp. I like them. And the camera, especially like cuz a lot of the problems in some of these games is, you know, whether it's a side-scrolling action game, like that camera that just doesn't keep up with you enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's what I was attempting to say before.
Yeah, but ultimately, it just I didn't find it compelling to play nowadays. It's not It's not like, to me, like, to mention, to bring up the off-mentioned DuckTales, like that is an old game, but it's still a splendid game.
Sure, that's one you can sit down and play all the way through today. And I totally agree. This was for its time. This is, as a kid, thinking about all those Lamborghinis and machine guns, like, this was awesome.
Wait, what? What, you know? What Lamborghinis?
I'm speaking in general terms.
Oh, okay.
You know, I wasn't thinking about...
I thought there was like a secret Lamborghini level I didn't know about.
No. Well, we'll get to that in the sequels, but...
Oh, no.
Yeah, this was... It appealed to me as a kid of the late 80s, early 90s. Flying that helicopter and blasting some fools. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, it's of the time, early 90s, desert warfare. It's just like... Mm-hmm. It fits in well, and I maybe it is because I played it as a kid, and this was a fun look back when I played it this week. But I could definitely see it not holding up whatsoever. Like, did you even know, Steven, that there was three different kinds of missiles?
I knew that there was the machine gun and that there was like the missiles. I didn't know that I could like switch missiles.
Well, there's like medium missiles, and then there's like the Hellstrike super missile.
Oh, no, I did not know that.
Oh, you only get 8 of those. Or maybe it's 7. No.
I will say this game, I had a game for Super Nintendo back in the day called Super Battle Tank, which was also definitely not set in Iraq. And this game is definitely better than that one. And they came out the same year. So.
Oh.
Yeah, and I forgot to mention this up top is to relate this game to our older folks, that older listeners that only played Atari and after that gave up on video games. This is basically Choplifter in an isometric perspective. It's about the exact same game.
Choplifter?
Yeah, Choplifter, the classic game
for the Atari. Like the helicopter where you go up and down.
Yeah.
It's like on rails.
Game that they based Predator on, or was it Commando? What's the Schwarzenegger Predator? One where they have to get to the choppa?
That's Predator.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's they based that movie on Choplifter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I think it was a bonus level.
Mm-hmm. So,
I think. You are 100% correct.
just touching briefly on the history of this fine series. 4 sequels were released after Desert Strike. They were creatively named Jungle Strike, Urban Strike, Soviet Strike, and Nuclear Strike. They all featured similar gameplay, but there was diminishing returns when it came to sales. The final game, Nuclear Strike, came out for the PlayStation and PC in 1997 and the N64 in 1999. A fifth sequel, Future Strike, was planned but ultimately modified into a third-person shooter, Future Cop LAPD. This got pretty good reviews but only sold 200,000 copies. Nuclear Strike, the final proper game of the series, got wildly different reviews from different outlets. The Wikipedia page has links to 3 different reviews. One is very positive. One says this is an average game. And one basically says it's like the worst game ever. all by magazines, not by people on the internet.
So is Future Cop LAPD the one where you just drive around and execute minorities?
Yeah, they predicted it. They predicted it completely right. Yeah.
It is a late 90s video game, so probably. There's a good chance. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find sales figures for the old Nuclear Strike there, but given that EA will keep minting sequels for pretty much any game if it sells, it's just that people are getting a bit tired of the series, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think this translates that well to a third person. And so this is definitely a game of its time. And
yeah.
I'll say Jungle Strike, the sequel to this one, I put in way, way, way many more hours into that one than Desert Strike. Jungle Strike, guess what, guys? You can drive a hovercraft around on the ground, and bless them, guys.
A hovercraft?
A hovercraft, man.
Not ourselves a hovercraft.
It's going on water, and it's going on dirt. Check that out.
I feel like I played Jungle Strike, but I don't remember. So I might just be making that up.
It's pretty much this game.
I should have popped that in this week.
It's this game, except you're in a jungle. But the thing is, it adds more vehicles and more weapons and a couple more things to do, but it's pretty much the same gameplay.
The thing is, I did play one of these games as a kid, and I have no clue which one it was. Which, you would think
great
I would...
sign.
Yeah, I could not tell you. It could have even been Desert Strike. But I do not know which one it is. Hmm. So, good times there.
Bearing the lead here.
The fact that I played this as a kid.
That you might have played this as a child.
What can I say?
I don't know. Say pew pew and zoom zoom. yeah.
So I don't know. I didn't really have much to say about this one. Todd, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Not really. I mean, there is not much to say. You fly a helicopter, blow up some radars,
yeah,
and pick up some POWs.
Mm-hmm. Well, MIA, it's possible POWs.
Yeah, it's not a modern day game you should play. I can't recommend it to anybody. So, mm-hmm. I would say don't play it. But I would give it a solid 3.3. Let me start that sentence over. I've got a solid 0.3 DuckTales.
Is that solid?
It is a solid number.
Less than a third of a DuckTale?
Yeah.
Yeah, the 0.3 is it's an okay. It's worse than average.
Okay, but solid. and worse than average.
Yeah, I think now.
Look, you're putting too much thought into it, all right?
You say this every time. Maybe you're not putting enough.
Hey, I don't go around Mr. Richter, Andy Richter from Conan O'Brien's show and tell him his scale's all messed up.
What are you talking about?
Oh, he means Andy Richter's earthquake scale.
Oh, I see.
Because the earthquake scale, I don't know, it goes like exponentially or something.
Hmm. Okay.
So I don't go to Mr. Ralph Nader's house and say, "Hey, man, get your F5 tornado scales out of here because it's all skewed, brother."
Yeah, you don't go down to Frank Decibel's apartment and be like, "Hey, man, yeah.
Hey, what's with all these negatives going on here? What's this all about?"
Yeah, I can still hear it.
Yeah. Why would you ever do exponentials? That's so confusing.
Anyway, 0.3 DuckTales.
Okay.
That
was weighing on my mind how many DuckTales it would get. So thank you.
Huel, about you? Any other thoughts about this one here?
Gotta say, very good manual. Very robust. A lot of pictures. They explain to you how to put a password in. Did you guys know you could pick your co-pilots?
Yeah, does it actually do anything?
The co-pilots either control the accuracy of your guns or like the speed of the ladder or winch that comes down. So like as you're flying around, you can like blow up buildings or just find like oil drums and stuff that you can pick up with a winch that comes out of the bottom of the helicopter there. So that could get you like more ammo or is how you rescue MIA guys. But there's actually one MIA guy you can find that can later become your co-pilot. And he's apparently the best of the bunch.
Ooh.
But there's one co-pilot who caught my eye. And no, it's not the lady from Australia. It is Mr. D. And Mr. D's profile says, "Call it courage or insanity, but Mr. D has no fear. In the heat of the battle, he is often so pumped up that he loses control of his body, shooting wildly and jamming the winch. So he's basically the guy you never want to choose because he's apparently so out of control from war that he just can't even shoot or operate the winch at all. So great choice to put him in the game. And as I said, war
is bad. You don't want to rub him the wrong way.
No, leave Mr. D alone or he will just get so red and stand straight up.
He swells up.
Yeah.
And gets really big.
Exactly. If you rub him the wrong way.
So
he gets excited. He's excitable.
I'm looking at the game facts guide for this. Ooh. And I can't, is this in the manual Huel about J.W. Fennell, Wild Bill? Wild Bill's the best of
I don't know.
Wild Bill's the best of the bunch. Just ask him. He's the top gunner, and he uses the winch like a lasso. He learned the rules so he could break them.
Oh. I should have written down all of them. Because there's some good co-pilots here. Mm-hmm. But this manual has the famous feature of a lot of old games, which is the complete walkthrough of the game. Is the second half of the manual here. Yeah, it's not just the first level. It goes through campaign number 4. just telling you exactly what to do the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a plus. Another thing I liked, for some reason, rescuing the lost soldiers in the field and bringing them back to the helipad will actually repair your armor. So that's a good way of getting some life back.
Oh, nice.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's a nice bonus.
Well, after being POWs, you know, the first thing they want to do is, you know, use a nice chamois on your helicopter. Smooth out some of those bumps.
Maybe it's like when Robert Downey Jr. was captured in the Middle East and he's in that cave and he learned how to craft mechanical suits. So maybe as they were captured, they learned the art of armor working. So by the time you get them back to the base, they can help repair your hello craft.
Mm-hmm. Very few people know that Desert Strike is a prequel to Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why the fifth level has you fighting Iron Men.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and just to circle back to something mentioned at the beginning. The number one song of 1992 actually would have worked for this game. End of the Road by Boys to Men.
Oh, yeah, that would fit perfectly.
Somber ending scene. The number two song, though, would be unintentionally hilarious, which is Baby Got Back.
Ooh.
And then number three was Jump by Criss Cross.
Such simpler times.
Yep. Tears in Heaven, number six. That would have been great for this game. Come on, the song about Eric Clapton's dead son. It's just what you want to hear while playing a video game.
I do now remember having I'm getting flashbacks of playing this game while listening to Boys to Men. So yeah, that checks out.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move along to the next segment. Todd, I think you're up.
Yeah, guys, I had I spoke to Tom Cruise's publicist, and he got me in on the schedule. So I thought I'd get with him, ask him all the hot questions people want to know. And here is Touching Joysticks with Tom Cruise.
Wait a minute.
This is Todd Brisket here for another session of Touchin' Joysticks with philanthropist, pilot, and father of Siri, Tom Cruise. Tommy, tell me, what is it you do for a day job that people know you for?
A very talented actor, very talented guy.
Excellent. I know we have to rush this interview because, and I'm not putting any blame here, you were late. You had some diarrhea, is that right?
Two is like... That's in the pipeline.
Aw, you're a big boy now. You made a poopy all by yourself.
Fairy Easter egg.
Fairy Easter egg? That's a cute name for it. Anyway, as you know, I am a co-host of the 207th leading podcast in the video games hosted by three white guys category.
A nutless monkey could do your job.
True. I don't disagree. The fans of the show really want to hear your takes on some topics that have come up on our show.
Hunter is fascinated with Reacher.
Well, I don't know what that is referring to.
He's a drifter in the same way that the Hunter's a drifter.
I got two words for you. Dats. Coo. I know you're a huge Street Fighter tournament fan. Did you see the recent match between Liquid Knuckle Do and Echo Fox Tokido?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think of old Tokido there?
When you, you know, when you see how this guy fights, it's he uses the minimal amount of moves and effort to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. And he's someone who is always thinking 10 paces ahead of the guys around him.
I'd put him more about a 6.5 steps ahead. But you're more of an expert than me. I've seen your skills with Chun-Li.
Yes.
Recently, on our show, we went over what the best burger toppings are. I know you're a freak of nature that just eats meat and cheese without anything else on your burger. What kind of cheese does the great Tommy Cruise go for?
Kobe Smulders is...
Ooh, I love it. You always have great female co-stars in your movies, such as Sophia Nutella, who is the Lady Mummy in your new movie called Mummy. What was the audition process like for her?
Originally, when I said, look, you're going to have to do this if you want to make the movie, and she was amazing.
Do what now, Tommy?
Stuff up the nose, and you have your mouth partially open, and yeah, that's what they do.
Well, as long as she's getting some air. Can we get serious for a moment here, Thomas? I know you have a lot of strong feelings about our newly elected president, Donald Trump. Why don't you share a little?
He has a great sense of responsibility and, you know, taking care of the people that can't take care of themselves, and he gets drawn into these stories. And he's someone, he is a wanderer. He travels around the country. And so he sees the country from a very, and humanity from a very unique perspective. And he's always kind of has that exterior view, and he just doesn't, he wants to live his life and doesn't want to be bothered, yet he gets drawn into these situations where he is really the only one who is capable of resolving them.
Well, that was uninformative. How about you say something a little more concrete instead of talking all that gibberish?
A futuristic blue-collar guy, basically. You know, he's a guy who, he fixes drones, and he's in charge of security.
Yes, that's why we elected him, and why we keep our faith in the job that he's doing. Well, Tommy, I want to thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to chat with me and touch joysticks.
I married a witch.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. My.
Thanks to Tom Cruise.
That is an incredible get.
He had harsh words for Katie Holmes or Nicole Kidman or Mimi Rogers at the end.
Yeah, I don't know why he dropped that. I don't know who the current one is. I didn't really do any research. Just kind of walked into that one, you know,
I think it's
without
a
script.
Reader might be his current wife.
Yeah, I don't know why he said that at the end. It's kind of weird.
Wow. Unprompted. Almost unrelated. But yeah, you got some answers out of him that I don't think anyone else could have. That's a true skill.
Well, thank you.
He felt safe in confiding with you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
And only had to go through 2 hours of Scientology orientation before he could talk to me.
Oh, nice. What level are you at?
Oh, I'm just an observer. I'm on the outside.
Oh, okay.
I only had to pay $3,000.
Got it. That makes sense. Well, it was all worth it.
It was?
Yeah, it was worth it for that 5 minutes of audio.
So I guess if you want more touch and joysticks, listeners out there better start using that Amazon click-through link.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Find it on www.ypbpodcast.com. So, Todd, did you receive any emails this week?
Oh, are we on the email portion of the show?
Yes, we...
Here we go.
Need to go to the email portion of the show.
All right, yes, I did get an email today, and it is from a frequent writer, and he writes, "Hey, ya fellas, say, did you boys catch any good deals in all them summer video game sales going on now? I got Diablo 3 Battle Chest for a shockingly low $20. You should pick that up, too, your pal Jimmy Blizzards."
Jimmy!
I wonder, you would think Jimmy Blizzards wouldn't need to buy Diablo 3 at this point. Or do you think he's just saying that so that to try to get us to buy it?
That is a conundrum.
He's just trying to get some more sales milked out of it.
Yeah.
Odd coincidence, yeah.
So how about you guys? Get any good deals this summer in the sales?
Three more sales to hit 1,000. I have not bought any games in like 2 months because I'm finally, you know, hunkering down and trying to get through my queue of games. So.
Oh, that fabled attempt that no one has ever accomplished. Stephen Greenwell's got the ego, makes him think he can actually do it. Well, I have a backlog of games. I'm going to actually play them.
There is no way I could actually do that with all the crap I have on Steam. but I'm down to like only 3 or 4 PlayStation games.
Nice.
So,
well, yeah, my queue has increased to over 600 unplayed games.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's a good investment.
Yeah, nice round number.
Yeah, I don't think I've opened Steam in about a month, so no, I have not bought any Steam sale games. If that's the sale you're referring to.
Well, there's other sales. PlayStation Networks has their own sale. Xboxes, Blizzard has their own sales.
Oh, huh, okay.
Well, here's
I'm
what
sure
I got.
I'm sure they're doing well.
Here's what I got in the sales so far. I got Just Cause 3, which I call Just Cause 3.
Just Cause. Yeah.
I got I am Setsuna, which is a Squaresoft retro modern RPG kind of game.
I got
a sequel or remake to a game we've covered in our own show called River City Ransom Underground.
Oh boy. Oh. Interesting.
A lot of skills to unlock and a lot of cheeves to unlock.
How is
Pop
that?
Them cheeves.
How is that Setsuna? That's on my list to play.
No, I haven't even cracked that one open because I've been putting my time into Just Cause 3.
You realize he only buys these games.
Yeah, I only buy them so I can look at them in my library while I play the same game over and over again.
Yeah, asking about them is a whole other story.
These are just mild distractions that are distracting me from playing Crusader Kings 2.
Mm. What game is that?
It's a little indie joint. I don't think I've ever brought it up before. It's on the underground. It's called the Crusader Kings 2. Sale on the Steams.
Well, I didn't bring it up on the show, but I did actually buy that maybe 2 months ago. So that's been sitting on my computer unplayed for quite a bit. Because I saw it was on sale. I'd never heard of it, so I don't know what compelled me to buy it. I was just like, it's got Kings and Crusades in it. And it's the second one, so it's obviously better than the first. So I just went and click-a-roo and bought it. So at least I'm glad to hear there's one endorsement for it. From the old Todd Brisket.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's a good sign. Thank you.
Oh, I just finished a little game called Fallout New Vegas.
Oh,
it was another
indie joint.
Yeah, little indie game, just pretty much the same as Crusader Kings 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I save the old Hoover Dam 4 different times.
Nice.
Although, really, the best part of the game. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The best part of the game. Lonesome Road.
Which one is that one?
The expansion?
Yeah, the add-on where you you find out about the other courier.
Oh, I think that is the one that I did not play.
Oh, it's story driven. It's deep. So you can get New Vegas for like $10 at this point. Like the ultimate edition with the DLC. So it's worth picking up.
I'm pretty sure I never did any New Vegas DLC. I did a bunch for 3, but not for NV.
The thing about NV is they actually all overlap slightly. Hmm. Like you find out the courier has been to the other courier has been to the other DLC locations before you and like kind of interacted with all the people there. So then I guess it would have been cool if I played this game when it actually came out and then, cause it all would have led into the final segment.
Yeah. Was Lonesome Road like the last one? Like you keep hearing about this guy through the other segments and then
you finally
get to him.
And even in the main game, they lay some breadcrumbs for you. Like the fact that there was a guy who was supposed to get the package and then he saw your name on the courier list and purposely didn't so that you would get it instead.
Oh, right.
So yeah, it's pretty neat. The only bad thing, like many Bethesda games, is that you cannot play all 4 DLCs on one game save. Like the whole thing just crashes and the game will not load after a while because it's too much memory. So
it doesn't sound like them.
I know. They normally make such airtight games, especially for the PlayStation.
Yeah, bug-free. But,
yes.
Bug-free day one. No patches.
Yep. But anyways. So, no. I have not bought anything. Huel, did you receive any emails?
Yeah, I did. Got one earlier this week. And it reads, "Dear Your Parents' Basement, it was great that you covered my game last week, but something you brought up got me concerned. I'm not dead, nor am I a clone. Just because I have no belly button and woke up one day fully grown and immersed in a strange fluid in the middle of a lab, that makes me some sort of freak? I'm a person, just like any of you, eager to point out the differences between light and dark statues. Anyway, I hope you cover a game about helicopters soon. I'm really into vaguely military things. What's your favorite game featuring a helicopter? Sincerely, Walter Smith, serial number 004.
Oh.
And from old Walty.
Oh, yeah.
The best game with a helicopter, huh?
Yeah, that was the ask.
The only one I can think of, probably because we played it, is Desert Strike.
That's convenient.
Yeah. Like the only other game I can think of is Parasite Eve, and that has a helicopter in it, but you don't actually like pilot the helicopter or anything. There's like one boss fight that takes place in a helicopter, I think.
Okay. Well, it does say featuring a helicopter. That was his ask.
I mean, there's games that have helicopters in it featured. One I'm thinking of is a whole series called Grand Theft Auto. Those have some helicopters in them.
Yeah, and that's the one that I wrote down.
The game I've been playing, I just talked about, Just Cause 3 and number 2 have a lot of helicopters in them. You fly them up, you dangle yourself off them with your little grappling hook, and you can swing around. You can attach 2 helicopters together and zip line them together, and they smash together and blow up. It's amazing.
With a grappling hook?
With that grappling hook.
That's pretty great. That sounds fun. Yeah, GTA 4 was very helicopter heavy. GTA 5 also had helicopters, but they had a lot more different kind of planes. And I did no research, but I'm pretty sure Red Alert had helicopters. I'm almost certain.
Seems like something the Soviets would use.
Yeah, those dastardly Soviets. Those are always fun.
Yeah, I feel like Whatchamacallit? One of the StarCraft games has like big helicopters in it, doesn't it?
We got carriers?
Kind of.
Well, in Warcraft 2, I feel like has a like
does,
a gyrocopter.
Yes,
it has, oh, there's, yeah. Yeah, the dwarven gyrocopter.
Also, apparently, Electronic Arts got sued once by a helicopter maker.
What?
So,
for the their game was too accurate?
Apparently, that Textron sued them because EA basically just took one of their helicopters and reproduced it in the game without licensing it or anything like that. Which I can kind of see their point. Like, if you wanted to put a Ferrari in a video game, you would have to, like, get permission from Ferrari to do that.
Yeah. Like they did with their secret Lamborghini level.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, well, I received one mail this week. Guys, how excited are you for the new Super Nintendo Classic Edition? Excited, very excited, or incredibly excited? And congrats on your 50th episode. Best wishes, James Comey.
Oh. I'm glad he liked our 50th.
Yeah.
Wonder what that one was.
Kind of odd timing, but...
A little late, especially since he apparently knows about the NES Classic.
And by the way, number 50 was Zombie Ate My Neighbors, which is not on the Super Nintendo Classic.
That's a good point. He's all sorts of mixed up.
Yeah, but that game lineup, though, that
I
is
am,
a good one.
If it's possible to be negatively enthused for something, that's my level of enthusiasm for this.
Well, of course, there's lots of RPGs on it.
So many RPGs. Well, that plus they're going to make about 14 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this podcast, I've bought so many legitimate Super Nintendo games that I have most of these already because I know we've either covered them or are going to cover them. So I already have all these games. What's the point? I'm not going to buy a new thing just to play the games I already have on.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, I have two Super Nintendos with a full collection of games. One of my Super Nintendos did the yellowing thing. It's all yellow. The other one was made out of different plastic, and it's not yellow.
Oh.
Strange.
Oh.
That is strange. Yeah, I read about that. A coworker asked me about that because he thought someone had like a gold edition of the Super Nintendo. Like, no, it's just old. So there was like the first batches of them apparently had this certain chemical that just turned yellow after a certain period of time. And then like later ones, they just used a different plastic.
Oh yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah. They said, oh, this is gross. Let's try to mix it. Let's try to mix it up a little.
Yeah. Mine looks okay still.
Yeah.
But it does have some slight discoloration. It's not yellow though.
It's a little green.
Yeah, it's just a little dirty. I will say I don't know how they decided on the games here because they got some games in some series. But not all games in all series. Like, they have Donkey Kong Country 1, but not 2 or 3. They have Star Fox 1 and the unreleased Star Fox 2. Mario World 1 and 2. Mega Man X, but not the later games. And then Final Fantasy 3, but not Final Fantasy 2.
Yeah, so, I think they're going to hold off until 10 years later where they're going to come out with Mini SNES 2.
Not a bad point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting they got a Final Fantasy on there.
Yeah, they must have...
There got to be a rights thing.
Yeah, they must have cut a deal with Square.
Oh, sure.
Because, I don't know, Square Enix has done a bunch of different re-releases for the games that are on this package here. Like Final Fantasy III came out for the Game Boy Advance and the PlayStation.
And my guess would be since it's a flat price for just a bunch of games, It wasn't worth it to have like multiple Final Fantasies. So you could probably they could probably like price out one, but having like another one on there might tip the scales a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I'm excited about this, but I hope Nintendo has learned some lessons from the NES Classic and that they're actually going to make more than 15 of these. And
they,
you know,
they're just always going to do what they do, man. They're they live in a little box.
I know. I mean, they can't even. Can you finally get a Switch? Or is or are those still like highly sold out?
I think they're much more available now.
Okay.
The hype died down.
Mm-hmm.
Kart 8 came out.
Okay.
And nothing else. So now it's people can find it now.
Now people can just wait until Metroid comes out.
Yep. Or Super Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that game does look good.
It's gonna be fun.
Grand Theft Mario.
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, Todd, did you get any other things in your box?
Anything in the box? Yeah, boys. Oh. We got us an ask. So let us ask the sweet boys. And if you have any asks you want to be read on air, send them in to parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. I'll keep it anonymous unless otherwise requested. And this one comes from somebody named... actually, they didn't leave a name. So this is anonymous. Sorry.
Alrighty. In that case.
This is anonymous. Sorry, I'm just pulling it up right now. Just pulling it up. Right. Mm. They write... Do you think this employee was rude and should be reported? So today, I go to McDonald's, and while I'm ordering in the drive-thru, the employee interrupts and says, "Let me guess, you want two Coke and two Dr. Pepper," which I admit is something I normally order, but I had no intention of ordering them today. So I said no and ordered something else. I guess this employee recognized my voice and feels she knows me so well she can order for me because I go there often, but still I thought it was rude. So what do you think? Should I file a complaint or just let it go? This black employee has always been less than friendly to me in the past.
No.
Most employees there are very friendly, except this one.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
Oh, that's a concern.
Yeah. Now we're going to get a letter.
Well, we want letters. We asked for them.
Yeah, sure.
They clearly need some sort of reprimand. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah.
To have the gall, the audacity to order for another customer.
Making an assumption.
You don't know what their mood is. Maybe they want one Dr. Pepper and two Cokes. Maybe they want three Dr. Peppers and a Sprite. Like this, it's...
Exactly.
When will the madness stop? These entitled millennials that think they can just boss everyone around because of their feelings, it's not right. I don't like it.
It's like friend of the show, Backsack says, lawyer up and sue the pants off them because you can get a lot of money out of this.
He says it constantly.
All the time. He's like, Hey, all you need to do is go in the doorway here and stub your toe on the door. And then we won't have to work for at least another 10 years.
Oh, for sure. Just dump coffee straight on your face.
I think the last thing that this person needs is more sugar. Like, how is four sodas like their regular order? That's maybe they're buying for the office or something. But
well, you know how whenever you don't just involved. you don't want to just get one or two or three, because you always ask for that serving tray, that drink transporter. You got to balance it out.
True.
You have to hit all four corners to get that balance so you can carry it around with you all the time.
They're not going to give you that tray just for one, and that tray's so much fun. Like, you don't want to miss out, so you gotta order all four.
Oh God!
Get the old drinky tray.
You know, I don't go for two. I don't go for two and two. I hit the all four. Give me one Coke. Give me one DP. Give me one Sprite. And give me one lemonade on there.
There you go.
Whenever I'm taking a drink, I spin it around on my finger like a basketball. Whatever it stops on, that's what I'm drinking. That's what that sip is going to be.
That's why you need all four. Otherwise, it's not going to spin.
Oh boy. It just seems like a lot of diabetes that this person is writing in about.
Well, maybe they won't have with a shorter life, there'll be less time to deal with bossy employees of fast food restaurants.
Boy. Well, I think we helped that person.
Oh, for sure. we gave them the guidance that they desperately needed.
Oh, yes. Well, Todd, was there anything else you wanted to say tonight?
Sure. Our time of triumph will soon arrive.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Huel, how about you?
Notice that Jake is listed as MIA, which stands for Missing in Action.
Good, helpful information.
Mm-hmm.
More.
So he's not the rapping lady from England.
No. Or Emma Stone from La La Land.
Ah, nice. Well, on that note, here's a little snifferoo from next week's episode, featuring a gaming icon that was missing after the 80s.
Now, Batman isn't just a game you play. It's a crispy corn cereal that's coming your way.
New Batman! Chomp, chomp, delicious!
They're sinky and flaky!
And pinky and fly!
We're marshmallow bits!
You find inside!
New Batman!
Chomp, chomp,
delicious!
He chomps crispy fat
butts! Chomp, chomp, chomp!
We're marshmallow bits that you can chomp too!
New Batman, the cereal!
A delicious part of this nutritious breakfast!
New Batman! Chomp, chomp, delicious!
Morning, kids. It's a Pac-Man day with my crispy corn cereal coming your way.
With marshmallows.
Delicious.
I'm Inky.
I'm Blinky.
I'm Pinky.
I'm Clyde.
We're the marshmallows
you'll find inside of Pac-Man.
Wow, he's chomping the Pac Puffs.
Whoops.
And Blinky, too.
He's marshmallow. You can chomp him, too.
In Pac-Man.
Part of this nutritious breakfast.
It's Pac-Man.
With marshmallows.
Delicious.
Go, go,
solar Pac-Man cereal!
And let's go, go,
Robin!
Who's gonna help us?
Mm-hmm.
Super Pac-Man!
Now this crispy corn cereal has Pac-Man marshmallows and big new Super Pac-Man marshmallows like me, the biggest, ghosty upper of all!
Ghost
Chopper!
I'm a ghost chopper too!
It's Pac-Man!
A solving good part of a nutritious breakfast with me!
And me, Super Pac-Man!
With marshmallows and corn pops, Pac-Man cereal, part of a good breakfast.
You can do it. You can do the Pac-Man.
And now free with free fruit from Pac-Man cereal. You can get the Construction Company sampler set with a block that locks to build a plane or a robot or it's free from Pac-Man cereal.
Hi everybody, I'm.
Pac-Man cereal's got a new surprise. When you look inside, it's shocking. Shocking pink, it's new Miss Pac-Man marshmallow. She's got a shocking pink bow. Oh, just one taste, you'll be tickled pink with crispy corn puffs all gone in a blink. Gone in a blink. The Miss Pac-Man marshmallow. She's got a shocking pink bow. Oh,
Miss Pac-Man's inside Pac-Man cereal, part of this nutritious breakfast. Yeah.
Pac-Man's more fun, shocking pink. Yeah.
What a tease.
I know, that was almost professional.
I've been liking the bumpers you put. And then we have a little blooper-oony.
Yeah.
Oh.
at the end of the sniffer-oos.
Blooper-oony.
Oh boy.
That's a better word for it as opposed to stinger, which is the Mystery Science Theater 3000 term.
Right. So. No, that's fine. I just don't know if I think I'm the only one that looks at the show notes every week. So I don't know if anyone else is listening to them. That's why I made the post. I'm like, I hope people are listening to these.